does it feel to be without home?
There is a sympathy between the musicians that's taking place there. They have never played the song all the way through before, and so they are playing in the dark in a way. You can't orchestrate that. You can't plan it, and you can't repeat it.
Let's roll, Larry.
Go ahead.
When you go back now and you hear what was never available to you at the time, the earlier versions of Like a Rolling Stone, before we settle on the version we get, you could hear that stuff and think, how did that ever become what it became? How could it have ever been heard as a waltz?
1, 2, 3, 4.
And yet, you know, this is one of the things that Dylan has always done. Always changed things so much at the last minute in the studio.
Once upon a time, you guessed so fine. You threw the bums a dime in your prime, didn't you?
That people never know where they are with him.
People call, say beware, doll. You're bound to fall. You thought they're all kidding you. Fun about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel?
The reason that it means so much to me, it was the dawn of the second half of my career, because that day I actually became an organ player, of which I am still one. But that was the first day that I became an organ player professionally, and that was the record that I made my debut on. People called me for sessions frantically because they wanted to get the Dylan sound. And then there were times when Dylan and I would go to the record store and buy all the records that sort of spun off like a Rolling Stone, and then go back and listen to them and laugh at the organ players imitating a player based on ignorance.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Through the bums of time in your pride, didn't you?
One of the objections to him, one of the many, is you hear people say, I like his songs, but I don't like his voice. And I want to say, which voice? Because there are so many. The Like a Rolling Stone voice is where he throws away the last vestiges of trying to sound older, the last dependence on any kind of folk-defined performance style, and saying, this is where I'm going. At a point where he was just emerging as absolutely the hippest person on the planet. So that if this is where he was going, then clearly this was the way things were going.
He wanted to be a rock star. And he had taken folk music as far as you could take it. And he saw what was happening around in the world. And he thought this music was harder and tougher than what he was doing. And that appealed to him.
Dylan picking up an electric guitar was a symbol of a sellout to something cheap and commercial. You know, the showbiz maxim is give the public what it wants. He was getting up night after night and hurling at the public what he believed it needed and being booed and slow hand clapped. And you have to have a great deal of conviction to do that.
They booked this tour of all over the United States, and then we went to Australia and then played all over Europe. And everywhere we played, they booed us. It was kind of like part of the show or something. It was a hard thing to understand, really, because, I mean, it thickens the skin, I'll tell you. Because when you go out and play every night and people boo you every night, it's enough to make you think you're doing something wrong.
The British folk revival was very much a child of the Communist Party of Great Britain, and certain leaders in the folk movement were funded by the Communist Party to lead the vanguard of the working class into an appreciation of their own culture, even if they had to be, and this is an exact quote, educated into their own music.
Dylan had been some kind of a political radical spokesman. He came from a world, the world of folk music, which represented some kind of inherent anti-capitalist integrity. And for him to pick up an electric guitar seemed some kind of affront, some kind of sellout.
And then there's Like a Rolling Stone. Chrome horses, diplomats, towers, juice, schools, what on earth is he singing about? And it shoots up the chart.
People talk about this controversy of him going electric and being booed. What there was a light on is the moment in Manchester where someone shouts, Judas. But, I mean, this was simply a handy dramatisation of what was going on every night. I mean, usually people were shouting less articulate things.
One of the most ridiculous ones is in Liverpool when somebody shouts out, Woody Guthrie would be spinning in his grave. He might have been, except he wasn't actually dead.
I mean, Judas, in one word, sums up the accusation that he had sold out. I'd like to remember, too, that Dylan's answer was very interesting.
I don't believe you. You're a liar.
And then the tune just smashes in.
They played it as a reply. They played it as a counterattack.
It crushes everything underneath it.
I think it's probably the greatest concert that was ever played by anybody in the history of the music.
One of the things that it does so very handily is it emphasizes how important music was seen to be in a way that it can no longer be. You don't shout Judas at someone about something insignificant like a computer game. Music then was going to change the world. It was going to usher in a world in which there were no longer people like President Eisenhower and Harold Macmillan and Lord Hume. We were going to have a new kind of politics. Of course, it didn't work. The generation who were in Dylan's audience in 66, it was astonishing to us when this woman with a handbag came along and took over the whole country later, you know, because those were the people who were going to have been abolished.
I know several people who, because of Dylan turning them on to other things, did in fact completely change their lives and went from what were very archetypical working class 1960s England and completely turned their lives around, determined to go to college, determined to become poets or painters or musicians. And they didn't necessarily become those things, but they broadened their experience and got much more out of life than a whole heap of other people who didn't. I don't think you have to follow Bob Dylan to get that, but Dylan did have that effect on people. And the story of this one song having that effect on somebody, I can completely believe.